Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Sleeper Wire Show. Yeah, I am your host, Nick Summerall, and with me today, I have my lovely co-hosts, Professor Chris and Max. Guys, welcome to the show. How are you?
Nicknameless Max here for you folks.
Nicknameless Max.
In 3 years, no still yet. Don't have a nickname.
I don't feel bad, Max. I don't have one either.
Your I'm main host, Nick.
Nobody refers to me as main host, Nick.
But like, even like Nick Summerall, like it's got a ring to it. Like Max Corsini, like it doesn't have that air. You know what I mean?
I like the last name Corsini. If that makes
sense. Let's just start calling you Corsini.
Yeah.
Everyone else does. I mean, you could do that.
There you go. Before we get into fantasy football, I would like to take a moment to send our thoughts and prayers to the people in Las Vegas. A tragic incident has happened there with the shooting, and we really hope that everybody who was involved makes it out safe, and we send our condolences to their family and loved ones.
Absolutely.
But guys, we won't. We are going to try and entertain you and distract you, because that is what we try to do here. So let's try to kick it off and make it fun, all right? Like I said, a lot happened, and a lot of injuries happened this week. So I don't know if this is going to be a fun show. This might be a sad show all the way around.
It seems like it's going to be.
Let's get into the news from this week. So starting up with probably one of the hardest ones to digest as far as injuries are concerned is Dalvin Cook tore his ACL and will be out for the season.
It's awful.
Ouch. It really is. I mean, yeah. The kid was on his way to, you know, being a solid RB1 start every week. He was starting to have a good day, too. He got the touchdown. How many yards did he finish with, Chris?
I think he finished with 68, but let me vet that here real quick.
Sure. I just know he got in the end zone in one of my leagues that I have him. He got me about 12 points. He did have that fumble at the end when he tore his ACL, but...
Did you watch that live?
66 carries for what it's worth.
Okay.
Or 66 carries.
Yeah, okay. 66 carries. That's a lot of carries. No wonder he tore his ACL. Right.
But yeah, I was watching that live, and it looked nasty.
When you saw it, like, I immediately was watching the game with a couple of my friends, and we had Red Zone, and they showed they showed the play happen, and they showed it happen again in real time. And I was like, oh, God, he just tore his ACL. And my friend's like, no, I think he just twisted his ankle. And I was like, dude, he tore his ACL. And they did the slow down play, and you just saw his knee buckle. And it was just like, oh. And I feel for him.
So the big question here is who takes over for that backfield, and do we want any part of it? Max, I'll start with you.
I mean, Jerick McKinnon right now, I'd say for the next maybe 2 weeks going forward, will be the guy. But Latavius Murray, I mean, I like Latavius Murray. I think he will be the starter there. Jerick McKinnon has immense talent, but that team views him as a third down back. So if you're in a PPR league, I'd go McKinnon because that's what he's really good at. But even last year with Asiata, they went to him a lot when there was injuries. So I'm saying Latavius Murray is going to be the guy you want to own in standard leagues and maybe more overall down the road. But right now, I'd go McKinnon, and the team's going to use their running backs. They're like KC. Whoever is the running back there is going to perform because they're going to get a lot of work.
Well, and now they have a passing game that's a serious threat that teams have to respect. They didn't really have that the last couple of years.
They didn't, and that's the thing. It's going to open up their run game, and it's especially going to open the run game up between the tackles, which is where Dalvin Cook shined, and which is kind of Latavius Murray's bread and butter. And I know, Chris, you mentioned to me that you saw an article where Latavius Murray came out and said he was only 80%. At 80%, I think he could still be, you know, a low-end RB2. And when he's at 100%, if he can stay healthy and his ankle holds, he could be an RB1 for you with the workload he's going to get. I think we're going to see a lesser Freeman and Tevin Coleman kind of combo going on here with McKinnon and Murray.
What do you think, Chris?
I don't know how much, you know, obviously we don't know at this point what the split is going to be, if it's going to be 70-30, if it's going to be closer to 50-50. But I agree with Max when I think it's going to be McKinnon for at least the next couple of weeks, because Murray did, there was an alert that today that came out on Sleeperbot that said Latavius Murray himself said that he wasn't 100% yet. And when the player is saying that, not just the coach, it's a completely different story. So I think it's going to be McKinnon. And I'll just do this quick plug. I'm not going to go into McKinnon because he is one of the players in this week's great debate. So go listen to that.
Well, then there you go. You know, all right. I have to I have to share a personal fantasy story here with you guys because it relates to a topic I want to talk about quickly. What is going on with Arizona Cardinal players against me? Last week, I played against Larry Fitzgerald, who had his monstrous game. And then this week, I played against somebody who just so happened to have Andre Ellington in, who was getting all the damn targets. I mean, what can you guys make sense
of? Are you in a 16-team league?
No, I'm in a 12-team league, sir.
Who the hell starts Andre Ellington in a 12-team league?
Thank you. That's what I didn't understand either. I was like, what in the hell is going on here?
Is it a guy who, like, lost David Johnson and then had Rob Kelly?
No, the guy had well, I'll tell you what. His only running back was Kareem Hunt, which, you know, obviously great. But, you know, but he had guys like Paul Perkins on his team and, you know.
So he didn't draft
nobody. Well. Yeah, he didn't draft
well. I mean, if you think about it that way, then I could see starting Ellington as a, I hope he's good in PPR, you know what I mean, kind of play, and he was good in PPR. My only, who's your commissioner, and what are his ties with Carson Palmer?
None, I promise you. I know the commissioner well, this one guy, I don't know what happened. Like, I played one guy with Larry Fitzgerald who went off on me. It's just kind of my theme. Anytime I play somebody, their players have, like, the game of their season against me. I cannot stand it. But so I guess to relate this, though, to a topic here, the Arizona backfield, what's going on there? I mean, Chris Johnson was the guy 1 week. Now we're seeing Andre Ellington. I mean, who's the guy to own here?
I think it's going to be game to game. If they're down, it's Ellington. If they're up, it's Chris Johnson. So you're going to have to play matchups. And it's not going to be a matchup where it's like, oh, the 49ers are bad, so Ellington should get a lot of work. It's if they're playing a team with even a remotely okay defense, like, start Ellington. You know what I mean? If they're playing anyone besides, like, the Colts, besides the Browns, Chargers, start Ellington. But when you get those cupcake defenses and they're going to be up, then you let Chris Johnson get the ball and he's going to run it.
Yeah, well, we say that, then it's going to be Kerwin Williams. You do understand this, right?
I like Williams. I drafted him a couple leagues this year. I thought he'd kind of hold that spot, but he's not doing well.
Oh, he sucks.
Before they got DJ, when Chris Johnson went down the first time, or Ellington went down the first time, Williams stepped up, and he put numbers on Seattle about 2 years ago.
I thought you were talking about you drafted him this year. I was like, what were you thinking?
No, I did draft him this year. I took him I told you, I grab everyone's backups. Like, I grab everyone's backups. And I'm in a few leagues that have super deep benches. I'm talking like we have 10 people on our bench, and I grabbed him. Just kind of like, oh, like, I'll get him. DJ went down, and I was like, oh, I got the backup. And then immediately I was like, I don't have the backup.
All right, well, let's get into some other news, too. Chris Carson went down with what they believe to be a broken ankle. And that's unfortunate because I owned Dalvin Cook and Chris Carson in one league. So now I only have two running backs.
It's not unfortunate because you had them.
Unfortunate because, but, you know, there's everyone many people who had them starting. Well, right, but there are people out there who shared who probably share my situation.
Well, I mean, you could look at Collins from Baltimore.
Oh, that's another backfield that confuses me. There's always somebody different every week.
Yeah, someone different, but 2 weeks in a row, this Collins kid hasn't had a lot of work, but he's been putting in work. I think he had 9 carries for like 90 yards this week, and last week he had like 8 for 80.
It was
nine for
82. Yeah, so like that's good. He breaks up a touchdown. That's a low-end RB1. Because I know in this league I currently have him on my bench, he got 13 points for me. However, the scoring is set up, I'm not sure. But, I mean, that's decent work right there. And I don't know.
I'm sure,
a flyer, you know what I mean? Pick up anyone in Seattle and hope.
I'm sure I'll target Alex Collins probably this week. But let's talk about the Seahawks backfield in general. You know, there was a report, too, saying that Thomas Rawls, who had been a healthy scratch, is going to be is going to pick up the slack at RB. So what do we think? I mean, obviously, Eddie Lacy looks like dog poo, and CJ Procise still unhealthy, and they had JD McKissick, who's basically like a CJ Procise doppelganger. So this is your team, Max. What do you think of this backfield? How's it going to shake out?
I think stop trying to force Rawls in. You know what I mean? He's just going to get hurt again. Mm-hmm. Eddie Lacy didn't look that bad. Like, he really didn't. And the issue with their team is their O-line.
True.
Seattle's O-line is terrible, so any running back that goes back there, yeah, might have a big game. You know what I mean? Like, there might be a couple big plays broken, but you can't look to any of them to be, like, the guy for you. Right now, I would say if, like, you were desperate, McKissick, if that's how you say his name, you know, as a PPR option, that's how I'd look at him. Or Eddie Lacy. And Thomas Rawls, the O-line isn't good enough for him. He's a running back that needs to be on a team like Houston, where the O-line's decent, but they have a decent passing game, and, you know, he runs hard. So if he gets hit, he's not going to go down at first contact. But when you're getting hit by guys in the backfield, then you're getting met again at the line, like, you need an Eddie Lacy-esque body to kind of take that abuse. So that's just my two cents. I really wouldn't want to own any of them. But if I was going to, it'd be McKissick or Lacy in the long run, because I think Rawls will end up getting hurt.
Another backfield with way too many question marks, but I just wonder if this McKissick guy is going to be hype at this point just because he got the two touchdowns. And then, again, of course, Procise is going to be coming back soon. I feel like Procise would push McKissick down the PPR option.
Pete Carroll is whoever's hot now.
True.
He doesn't really rest in the laurels of, oh, yeah, that's our starter. You know what I mean? Because even Lynch, when Lynch got hurt and Rawls did really well, he didn't immediately go back to Lynch. He kind of made it 50-50 with Rawls. And it was, at that time, I was kind of confused by it because Lynch was still doing well. He just got hurt. And so Pete Carroll plays the hot hand. If McKissick stays hot, he's going to be the guy. When Procise is there, he's going to wait in the wings. He's going to be the spellback unless he breaks out. It's they have no loyalty to any of these running backs. Pete Carroll hasn't found his guy yet.
Well, that's interesting to note. So maybe McKissick is the guy you want to pick up. Chris, any different thoughts here?
I am kind of on the opposite side here. Surprise, surprise. I think Rawls is going to be the guy to pick up. Lacy, I think you can leave on the waiver wire. I don't think he really needs to be owned. Rawls may get injured again, but he's still a good running back. He's the best running back that they have when he's healthy. So, and McKissick, yeah, he did have a great game, and he was very solid, but once Procise is back, I'm not sure that they're just going to keep playing McKissick. And this might have just been a fluke game. I do think this is a lot of hype, and I'm going to go with Rawls from here on out.
All right. Doug Martin, coming back to your team if you had him on the waiver, on the bench. So congratulations.
About damn time.
You got Corey Davis has already been ruled out for week 5. Marcus Mariota dealing with the hamstring is day-to-day. And don't worry about Julio Jones. He will be back because he's just dealing with a hip flexor. Not expected to miss any time. And the biggest, best news of the week is the Bears will be starting Mitchell Trubisky and no longer the statue that is Mike Glennon.
That's the biggest and best news of this week?
Well, yeah.
It's only exciting for Nick. He's the literally the only person who's a part of Sleeper Wire who's excited about this.
All right, listen. I'm just kind of joking a little bit. Like, it's not I know it's not the biggest and best. It's exciting for me, and it's exciting for Bears fans, okay? Like, let's not get crazy. I'm not, like, the only single person in this entire world that, you know, cares about Mitch Trubisky starting part of my
life. Yeah, there's, like, 15 of you or something, or, like, Chicago area.
You should be excited as a fantasy owner, though, for Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, because I do believe Trubisky does improve their game. This guy can move in the pocket. We saw it in preseason. He doesn't just stand there and take a sack or turn the ball over like Glennon. The guy is accurate on the run. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be amazing and win them tons of games. I'm sure there's going to be growing pains. He's a rookie quarterback, only played one season in North Carolina. I'm not, you know, naive to think that he's going to be the answer to all our problems, but he cannot be any worse than what we saw out of Mike Glennon for these first 4 games.
Is there really any fantasy relevance with him, though?
I don't think I can't say so. I would love to
Cohen
I would
to
love
go
to,
off.
What, or just, you know, I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, Trubisky is go grab him and start him. I would love it if he turns out like Deshaun Watson, but we don't have the weapons that the Houston Texans do. We don't have the receivers like they do. So I don't think he will. I mean, but who knows? Stranger things have happened before. Maybe it'll be a surprise. But I do think this helps the running game, if anything. So
All right. Moving on from the most important news of the week.
That's right. Go Bears.
One piece of news I want to also throw in there. Derek Carr went down with back spasms and has a transverse process fracture, out 2 to 6 weeks.
That's all right.
That's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
I thought, like, the way he got grabbed at his shoulder, I was, like, crying, praying he didn't, like, tear a rotator cuff or something.
Yeah, thank God he'll only miss that little time. And there have been other reports saying 2 to 4 weeks, too. So it's pretty much some – I would suspect probably 4 weeks if I had to guess. But we shall see. So let's review some of the Week 2 games with our little segment here called Consistent Contributors or One-Hit Wonders. So we got our James Browns or James Blunt. All right, so let's look at the games here. Do we have to start with the Thursday Night Football game?
Yeah, we're going in order.
All right, well, anyways, that's, you know, Thursday Night Football, Packers, Bears, you know, Packers won, yay. Listen, I mean, your studs were your studs. The only thing, the big question here is Aaron Jones. You know, when Ty Montgomery went down, Jamal Williams went down, Aaron Jones was their only option. Who is this guy? Is he going to be a James Brown or a James Blunt, Chris?
He's going to be a James Blunt. I don't think the injury to Ty Montgomery is as serious as initially thought. And Jamal Williams, do we have any news on his injury yet? I don't think I've seen anything.
I have seen literally nothing on Williams, but I was going to say Montgomery was given not great news, but everyone initially thought he broke a rib. And they said the injury is much, much less severe than that. So
right.
I think he's going to be back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that's going to render Aaron Jones completely irrelevant.
Well, the London game, Saints-Dolphins.
Did you guys happen to watch this game?
I didn't watch it, but man, did I keep up with it on the radio. It sounded awful.
All right, so I saw a few highlights, and I saw a little bit of the game. And my friend was complaining because I talked him into getting Cutler in a 2QB league, and he was his third quarterback. And he started Cutler over Deshaun Watson, which, you know, no good this week. The Dolphins did nothing to help Jay at all. I watched some horrible routes be run by the Dolphins. I watched some just literal open pass balls being dropped on the ground. And it was weird because the Dolphins, their receivers, like, they don't have the best team, but their receivers run good routes. Their receivers all have good hands. I watched Jarvis Landry drop 2 touchdowns. I watched Parker drop an open space ball and, like, getting hit in the chest and just letting it go right through his hands.
Well, there's no way Landry dropped 2 of them.
Well, he dropped one for a fact.
Yeah, 6 catches on 7 targets. He did drop one.
Might have been Kenny Stills, might have been the second one.
Stills caught 3 on 3 targets.
Then I don't know who the hell it was. I saw, through highlights. I saw 2 guys drop 2 touchdowns. And realistically, it was the Dolphins, so I didn't care that much because I have no Dolphins on my team. I have Parker in a few leagues, but I don't start him. I felt bad for Jay Cutler because I was like, wow, he looks so bad. His receivers aren't catching anything. His O-line isn't protecting him at all against the Saints. Like, it was weird. In the defense, you know, 20 points isn't that much. They were still in the game. You know what I mean? That's 3 scores. It's not that bad. But I just feel like the Dolphins' offense, I don't know if it was jet lag maybe, could possibly, or just a bad offensive, like, coordinator calls, I guess.
I see what you did there, Max. I see what you did there. Jet lag, because he also did nothing against the Jets. I get it.
But at least the Jets can, like, for some reason, always have an okay defense every once in a while. Like, the Jets defense can step up and, like, match you. The Dolphins, or the Jets, like, play to your level. The Saints don't have a defense. The defense is a joke. So this game, I feel like it wasn't won by the Saints. It was lost by the Dolphins. But when everyone goes to point a finger at Jay Cutler, because it's Jay Cutler, like, don't. Because from the highlights I saw and in passing glances I watched the game, because like I said, the Dolphins didn't really care, it wasn't his fault from what I saw.
He was 20 for 28, too. It's not like he had an awful game. Yeah. I mean, only 164 yards, but completion and attempt-wise, he was pretty solid.
I have to say this. I mean, it's I'm not going to blame Cutler. You know, if there's anybody here who knows Cutler probably the best, it's me. I don't like Cutler, but, you know, I can't say it's his fault they lost the game. It's the whole team. But in my defense, I mean, I've been saying all along this Miami Dolphins team really isn't as good as they looked last year.
But this
me and Chris talked about it all offseason. JHI, our bust this year. Am I right, Chris?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Since, like, February.
See, I didn't think JHI was a bust. I thought his price was too high. I view him in the Lamar Miller range, where it's, like, low-end 1-2 running back for you. But that being said, the Dolphins' defense should be good. It should be better. And realistically, it played, you know, holding the Saints 20 points, Drew Brees is a prolific quarterback. And he's going to have Snead back next week. He'll be even better. Mm-hmm. That being said, what is going on with the Dolphins play calling? This isn't a new story. This is something we've seen the last 4 years where it's, oh, we can't blame the quarterback. We can't blame Tannehill. We can't blame Tannehill. Well, now we can't blame Jay Cutler. Like, what is going on? How many offensive coordinators does the team need to go through before they can finally get one to stick?
Your guess is as good as mine. But here's my question about this, though, that I think fantasy owners may be a little more interested, no offense, Max, but Alvin Kamara, James Brown, or James Blunt?
Brown, he is the starter. I would not be surprised if by, like, week 9, Adrian Peterson's on the Cardinals, and the Cardinals give a cornerback up.
So you think a trade will happen, huh?
Honestly, it would improve both teams. The Saints' defense is a joke, and the Cardinals have an okay defense, and the Cardinals need a running back. And they need a running back that can handle a good workload, and Adrian Peterson can handle a good workload.
Saints don't believe so.
Or so he says.
Yeah, he says he can.
Drew Brees had as many carries as Adrian Peterson did this week.
Yikes.
And only one fewer yard.
Ouch. But yeah, Alvin Kamara, I mean, so you guys say he's a James Brown. Does that mean he's an every week starter for you guys at this point?
In a PPR, if I was someone who lost David Johnson or just lost Dalvin Cook, I would be happy to flex Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's an every week flex until further notice, because unfortunately, they still have Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram, two, you know, really good running backs, so anything could happen, but as of right now, he's the guy.
All right, so we believe that he can be a starter for you in your lineups, but just know that there is the possibility of a headache there with the committee behind him. All right, so let's go on to our next game. The Panthers beating the Patriots 33-30. What a game this was, and what a shock it was. A big bounce back for the Carolina offense, which they desperately needed. What did you think of the game, Chris?
I love seeing the Patriots lose. It makes me so happy. This was kind of a fluky game for Cam Newton. I don't think you're going to see four total touchdowns out of him again. I saw a headline on ESPN this morning that says Newton breaks out of slump versus Patriots. And I was like, can you call it a slump when it's lasted a season and four games?
Yeah, it's like, not a slump, dude. Funches looked great.
Yeah.
It's Funches. Come on.
Yeah.
Funches. So is he our James Blunt or James Brown?
I think this was a James Blunt performance.
I think it was a James Blunt performance all around from everyone besides Jonathan Stewart. And Jonathan Stewart didn't really have a great game.
Yeah, 14 for 68. That's not bad, but
I mean, with 68,
with 68 yards, you want a touchdown out of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to think, Fozzie Whitaker had 3 catches, 34 yards, and a touchdown. Like, that, you're not going to want to pick him up. That being said, like, being from New England, I hear a lot of New England news and Patriots everything. The Patriots team, I don't think anyone can deny, isn't talented. Like, it's one of the most talented teams in the NFL right now as far as the names. Their D-line is very rough. That's probably their weakest point. Watching the game, it was a lot of miscues, a lot of misreads. And I feel like the Patriots need a couple weeks to kind of get everyone settled, maybe switch their defense up a little bit, but they'll figure it out. They're a very good team. I feel like these first couple games have been kind of fluky for them, to be honest.
I saw this funny meme today from basically like a sports or a football version of The Onion, and it said, naked streaker runs on field during Patriots game, rushes for 300 yards against Patriots. Yeah, their defense has looked pretty atrocious.
Yeah, but the Pats defense every year looks bad. They're the definition of bend but don't break. And
I would disagree.
No,
I think this year
Sometimes the Patriots have decent defenses. Sometimes they do. In the playoffs, they often do. But if you look at the actual yards given per game, the Patriots don't mind giving up yardage. They'll let a running back put up 100 yards and a quarterback put up 400 yards, but they'll let up 14 points.
Right, but this year, though, they've let up probably the most points.
They're the worst defense in the NFL right now, but this is the year where they have the most names on their defense. They have the most talent on their defense. And if you watch the game, it looks more like confusion. It looks less like these guys are being beat and these guys are being played, and more like he made the wrong read. He was in the wrong coverage. You know what I mean? Like, he thought that was his zone, but over there was his zone where the touchdown was.
It's a like bit ironic.
When Tyreek Hill beat McCourty. McCourty even came out and said, that was my zone. Oh, that I let him pass. That was supposed to be my zone. I messed up. Mm. And so it's one of those things where it's like, these guys are extremely talented, so I don't see this being like a forever, like season-long thing. I see the Chargers defense retaking that throne as worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah, it's certainly been interesting what we've seen out of the Patriots this year, though, and especially when you consider the Bills are atop of that division, 3-1. That's
wild.
Love it.
The Bills were a team, the GM was like, all right, guys, we're getting first-round pick next year. And then LeSean McCoy, Charles Clay, and Tyrod Taylor were like, we're going to the playoffs, man. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I wish LeSean McCoy's stat lines would indicate that he wants to go to the playoffs.
We all do.
Okay. So, Devin Funchess, just want to reiterate, though, just a good week for him, nothing really to go pick up off waivers, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
All right. Jaguars, Jets. The Jets get their second win this season, a win more than I thought they would have this year.
Yeah. I didn't think they were going to get plural wins.
No. I was like, 1-15. Yeah, that sounds about right. But let's talk about their James Blunt or James Brown. It was Elijah McGuire, running back who had 10 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown behind a monstrous day for Bilal Powell, of course. But is this somebody that is worth picking up this week, Chris?
No, I don't think so. And the reason he had 10 for 93 is because he broke off a 69-yard run. Bilal Powell got the work. He got 21 carries, 163 yards. Yeah, granted, he also had a long touchdown. But if you take those 75 yards away, that's still, 88 carries? Or 8? I keep flipping that. 20 carries for 88 yards, which is still pretty good. That's still good work. So it's still Bilal Powell for me.
Isn't Matt Forte back next week?
He should be.
Yeah, so it's irrelevant. He's a blunt.
Got it. All right, so let's move along then to the Steelers-Ravens game, which I was surprised at how much
Mike
the Steelers
Wallace,
scored.
Baby.
Yeah, Wallace got the touchdown, salvaged your day if you started him. This game, they're normally pretty low-scoring games between these two teams. I was shocked to see the Steelers get so far ahead of them.
That was Le'Veon Bell.
Right, but also, at the same time, the Ravens, did you know they already have 16 players on injured reserve?
I believe it.
Which means their defense, for me, is no longer streamable, because most of those injuries are on the defense.
Yeah, I was really high on them coming into the season, but not anymore.
No, you can't stream their defense with that many starters.
I thought they were going to bounce back at home, but they certainly did not.
So, yeah. If anything, I mean, maybe stream your defense against the Ravens.
Yeah.
That might become the trend.
Very possible. I can't believe Le'Veon Bell got 35 carries.
I mean, I can, only because it's Le'Veon Bell.
And 35, though. That's an insane amount.
It's insane, but I mean, the guy hasn't done much in the first few weeks of the season. So, I mean, they're like, wait, the season started? Oh, here, catch up.
Well, no, it's like I said on the Dash Show, he's not used to playing the first few games of the season, so he had to get back into
he's all warmed up now.
Yeah,
he's all right there now. All right, so we talked about Alex Collins before. So would you guys say he's a James Brown or James Blunt?
I think he's turning into a Brown. He's probably the best running back in their backfield right now. I wouldn't start him unless I was in a deep league or maybe flex him. But he's the only running back that I've seen on that team since Forsett's first year that I'm kind of excited for. That looks like he could break out and do something.
Interesting. Chris, you feel the same?
I think, Yeah, I think he's irrelevant once Danny Woodhead comes back.
See, I don't. I think West is irrelevant once Woodhead comes back, because if this Collins kid keeps rolling, Harbaugh's not stupid. Danny Woodhead's fragile. This is the second big injury he's had in so many years. Woodhead will go to the third down back, and Collins will be the between-the-tackles guy. Kind of LeGarrette Blount, Sproles situation. Sproles goes down, Blount gets all the work. That's how I see it.
I think I'm going to disagree there just because of
just
Woodhead's
because I
talent.
Said it.
Yeah, just because Max said it, I'm going to disagree. No, just I do think Danny Woodhead becomes the guy once he gets back. But I'm not going to talk about Alex Collins because he was the other player in this week's great debate. So we did McKinnon versus Collins. So definitely go listen to that one.
Well, now we know what side Chris is arguing for.
Yes, you do.
I think Alex Collins will be okay. The problem is the Ravens, with all their injuries, I just feel like they're going to be playing from behind. And if that's the case, don't expect their run game to really get going here. Maybe Alex Collins can break one for you, but unless he starts catching passes out of the backfield, I'm not going to be comfortable really starting him. I'll pick him up, but I definitely won't put him in my lineups for a couple weeks.
Yeah, he's got no catches through the three games he's played.
Right. So
I mean,
he
barely has any carries, but he's putting in work.
Right, but that's the thing, though. If they're getting behind, fast.
I didn't say he's going to be a starter for you. I even said I wouldn't start him unless
you're right.
I think what he's been doing is what he's going to continue to do, which is get about 80 yards a game, be kind of a Stewart situation for you.
But I still think that Buck Allen right now is the guy to own and start at this point.
I think he's the guy to own, but I would certainly not be starting him.
Oh.
If I had to pick one to own, it would be Buck Allen.
All right, let's move along to the next game. Bengals embarrassed the Browns, but what else is new? Tyler Kroft had himself a game. 6 catches, 68 yards, 2 touchdowns. Guys, is he our James Blount or James Brown?
As of right now, James Blount, because we just haven't seen this before. It's very possible he steps up, plays kind of like the Eifert role, but you can't predict that right now after one game.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, they're... Week 3, he had 4 targets, 3 receptions, 28 yards. So I agree with Chris. It sucks. If you need a tight end, if you have Ebron, who's terrible, or if you have Eifert got hurt, or if you have Reed and you're afraid, grab him, throw him on your bench, see what happens in the next couple weeks. Because he easily could emerge. But look at Hunter Henry. That kid has all the talent in the world, and he's getting nothing because of Gates. So, I don't know. Tight ends is a weird position. I've said this for 3 years. You can't expect much out of your tight end. But on a team like the Bengals, where they like to throw to their tight ends a lot, he's someone I'd grab and stash and just see what happens.
Do you guys know who led the Bengals in rushing?
Is it
Gio
Andy
Bernard?
Dalton?
Andy Dalton and Joe Mixon tied for 29 yards.
I thought Gio broke off a big one. I got to check these stats.
It was a big reception.
Big catch. Yeah,
61-yard catch. Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Well.
But Mixon had 17 carries and only 29 yards.
I told you guys he wasn't that good. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying he's not good enough to transcend their O-line. They're not a running team. Hill's a good running back and hasn't been able to do anything. When he first came to the league, Hill was good. Gio was a good runner. And now they just pass the ball because they can't run it because their team's not built like that.
Very interesting. Lions, Vikings. Let me just ask you guys this. Is the Lions running game a James Brown or a James Blount?
I think it's Brown. Abdullah's looking good. Riddick's looking good. Matt Stafford's looking good. That team's clicking. They're doing really well this year. And if you're going against Denver, I wouldn't really start them. I don't think you should really start most running backs against Denver. But yeah, for their matchups this year, I think it's Brown.
What do you think, Chris?
I wasn't real high on Abdullah coming into the season because we just never seen him get the work, even when he was healthy. But I think I'm starting to come around to him. I actually found him on a waiver wire this past weekend, so I got him on my bench for free, and now I'm starting to be happy about that.
Wow. Look at that. People jumping aboard the Abdullah train once more.
People
can change. All right, so be excited for Abdullah, guys. Next up, we got the Rams-Cowboys. What a fun game this was. I loved watching this game. I really enjoyed everything that happened in it, especially that I had Dak Prescott soften the blow for me against Deshaun Watson. So that helped. Looking at this game, really not a whole lot here. My biggest thing takeaway from this game, if I had to have one, was that Alfred Morris was the guy there behind Ezekiel Elliott as we wait. What could happen with the Zeke Elliott suspension news? This is the week where a decision will be made for the longest court hearing of a suspension ever.
I don't want to say this because two of them were definitely injury related, but I called Hunt. I called that Latavius Murray would eventually be the starter. I mean, I was wrong about the talent, but I was right about he's going to be the starter. Ty Montgomery, I was right about that. And Alfred Morris is the backup. It's not Darren McFadden, which, you know, McFadden's good, but, you know, I called it, just saying.
You know, I actually, Max, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I never really believed in Darren McFadden either. I never understood why they would turn to a 30-plus-year-old running back when they had a 27-year-old Alfred Morris, who actually was good for the Redskins at some point.
Well, because Darren McFadden ran a zone. When Darren McFadden ran a zone offense on Oakland, he was very good. And when he ran in the zone offense on the Cowboys 2 years ago, he was very good. So it was kind of like, oh, it's logic. But there's the age factor. There's the fact that you have another really good running back in Alfred Morris there.
Right.
But, yeah, he's the guy to own if you're a Zeke owner right now.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think this is the guy you want to own if Zeke Elliott is getting suspended. Or if you're just a Zeke Elliott owner in general, you should handcuff him with Alfred Morris. I mean, look at the injuries that have already taken place in 4 weeks. You never know. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm actually coming around to Max's train of thought on this one, too. I have been a diehard McFadden guy. This is the backup for Zeke. But 4 straight weeks of just being a scratch and Alfred Morris still getting some work, I think that points towards Alfred Morris being the handcuff. I do think that McFadden is going to be involved for sure, especially in the passing game. But Morris is probably going to get more of the carries.
I think so, too. And I wouldn't be surprised if McFadden gets very few touches if Alfred Morris were the guy, maybe initially, but I think Alfred Morris would break away and be able to do something on his own. I mean, the team certainly has the offensive lineman to support, you know, even an above average running back to make him look like a great running back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you also got to think they still have Hillman, which I know Hillman's a joke at this point in the NFL, and I'm being Hussein by bringing his name up. But you have two very young running backs behind Elliott. Why turn the ball over to an aging Darren McFadden who has fumbling issues, who can get hurt? I wouldn't even risk it. I just kind of like, you're our break in case of ultra emergency guy.
Does Darren McFadden have fumbling issues?
Yes. I never heard that before. He's fumbled quite a bit, and I'm pretty sure that whole team has fumbling issues, except for Zeke.
He's got 17 fumbles in his career, but that was from 2008 to 2016.
Yeah, but like how many games did he actually start in from 2008 to 16, or how many seasons did he start?
You're right. Yeah, that was just from seasons. That wasn't just individual games. Yeah, I didn't know that. Thanks for bringing that up. Can we talk about how good Dak Prescott is, though?
Well, he's not. I love that he's my quarterback.
He's not. Are you kidding me?
He's not because he is. That's the thing. It's like he's really good for that offense. He's really good when they can just beat you up, when you can give your running back 20-plus carries and the backup's good, and you have Dez Bryant. And it's like I was discussing this with a couple of my buddies. One of my friends said, oh, Dez isn't that good. And I was like, well, he's not that good if you compare him to Odell Beckham, but he's that good if you're going to throw the ball deep like you want to throw it to Dez because he's going to get it for you. But I don't think Dak Prescott is that good as far as, like, Deshaun Watson is showing some insane poise, some playmaking abilities. I would rather start a team, like a franchise today, with Deshaun Watson over Dak Prescott, given if they were the same exact age.
Is Watson a guy you could possibly start every week as your quarterback?
I mean, yeah. Of this rookie class this year, he's the best, and I think he, over the last 2 years worth of quarterbacks that have come out of college, he's the best. In that offense, like you said it earlier, they just needed a quarterback. That's what Houston needed was a quarterback, and they were going to click.
Right.
And they're clicking. You know what I mean? Watson's the guy. I was pulling for Savage. I kind of thought Savage, you know, your classic style quarterback might do something there. But they needed something out of the box, and Watson's that guy who can think on his feet when the play breaks down. It's not over. You know what I mean?
They needed more than a game manager.
They needed more than a game manager. They needed a playmaker. And that's exactly what Watson is, and that's why they're doing so well.
I'm just going to caution people against chasing the points, because before yesterday's game or Sunday's game, depending on when you're listening to this, he only had 4 touchdowns. One of them was a rushing touchdown. At Cincinnati, he threw 125 yards, no touchdowns. Jacksonville, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. So don't expect that he's going to keep doing this.
Well, what was Dak Prescott doing at this point last year?
I'm just saying,
if you compare for rookie quarterbacks in general, at this point last year, Dak Prescott just threw his first touchdown. So I think Watson, it's not going to be like what you got this week. Don't expect that. Like, do not, like, wouldn't Tom Brady put up 53 points? Like, don't expect that. But would I start him? Yeah, I mean, I'd start him over Phillip Rivers. I'd start him over a few guys.
And you also have to understand, too, I mean, rookie quarterbacks don't come out of the gate in their first few games or whatever as studs. I mean, no. They just don't. Some never even break out in their first season. I mean, look at Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff, we thought, was a complete dumpster fire for the Rams, and he was going to be a joke, and now look at him this season. I mean, so...
Look at Robert Woods.
I'm just trying to say don't overreact to it.
Oh, yeah. If you have Alex Smith, keep Alex Smith. If you have, like, Matt Stafford, Carson Wentz, yeah. But if you're rocking Eli and you're not confident, I'd take a flyer. You know what I mean?
Or Derek Carr and went down, you could grab Deshaun Watson if he's out there.
Oh, I wish I could. I wish he was on my waivers, man. I wish.
Let's go to the Eagles-Chargers game. So, Tyrell Williams, 5 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown.
Looked great.
This has been one of your guys you were touting up all offseason, so I guess is he a James Brown for you?
All I have to say is, it's about damn time, Tyrell. I've been waiting for you to do this for 3 weeks now. And I think James Brown, you're not going to get 5 for 115 and one out of him, but I do think he is turning it around a little bit this season. He's going to be someone that you can probably flex weekly.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you got to keep in mind, he had a huge game, but Keenan Allen, still their number one. He had 11 targets. Only 5 receptions, but he got 138 yards. He was just missing the touchdowns. So, it's Keenan Allen's game. Williams is now over Travis Benjamin. I kind of thought Benjamin would still be the number two there. But as a flex and a PPR, I can see it.
Well, and one more thing about this game.
Zach Ertz.
Melvin Gordon dealing with the bone bruise. Only got 10 carries for 22 yards. Chris, should we be concerned about your boy Melvin Gordon?
No, I don't think so. The Eagles do have a pretty solid defense, rush defense, but they only gave him 10 carries, so it's not like he was breaking down over a huge workload. I think maybe they were just being a little cautious with him, and since
because
Rivers,
of the injury?
Because of the injury, mm-hmm. And they maybe wanted to give him a lighter week, but they only carried, they only ran the ball 13 times. Phillip Rivers threw the ball 38 times. They were passing this game.
49ers, Arizona. We talked about Ellington a little bit. We already said he's James.
Startley, Fitzgerald, you're done. Anyone else is a roll the dice.
Pick up Matt Breda.
There you go. All right, so Giants, Buccaneers. What is going on with the Giants?
Start Giants receivers against bad teams. Oh, hey, Nick, Gallman? Is that how you say his
Gallman.
Name?
Gallman. Wayne Gallman.
I think he's the new guy for the Giants. And they're playing the Chargers next week. Could be a nice little flex play.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was also thinking to quiz Rodgers because I have him against Patriots Thursday night. I don't think Doug Martin will be ready to go right out of the bat for Thursday
night.
Yeah,
but I don't think Jaquizz Rodgers has looked all that good.
Well, I do have LeSean McCoy and Jordan Howard as my running backs.
Flex them.
So that's my thing, because I'll have Michael Thomas on a bye, so I'll have to flex somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I'd flex Gallman. He looks like the guy. The Chargers defense, I think we all know, is terrible. LeGarrette Blount just put up 138 yards against them. So this could be a Giants get up quick, because they have the core that can do that, and then they just run it. And he seems to be the guy that they're going to go with, because he's the most productive they've had in years.
Well, maybe I'll have to target him and take your advice, because I need somebody to fill in for flex, because, like I said, Thomas will be on a bye, and I lost Dalvin Cook and Chris Carson, so got to get somebody in there. All right, so Gallman, believe, could be the guy. Chris, you agree?
I don't know if anybody is the guy, but if I had to choose one, it would be Wayne Gallman. Paul Perkins is just a disappointment.
Oh, absolutely. What a dumpster fire. I'm glad I traded him. I did a trade in my one league in the beginning of the year before the league started. Guy wanted Marshawn Lynch for me so bad, he offered me Kareem Hunt. I said, I counteroffered. I said, listen, I'll give you Marshawn Lynch and Paul Perkins for Kareem Hunt and LeGarrette Blount. He did it. Boom!
That's mean.
Oh, yeah.
those are trades I pull off against people, and I'm like, oh, it's your first year in the league. I feel really bad. I probably shouldn't do this, but yeah, I'll accept it.
Yeah. Oh, so sorry. So sorry. And then week one happened, and I was so happy. Raiders Broncos. We already talked about the Derek Carr issue with his back, 2 to 4 weeks. Anybody in this game that we thought could be like a James Brown, James Blunt?
My sneaky play of the week from the Dash Show was Seth Roberts, and all he was missing was a touchdown. He's had a pretty good game aside from that. 4 for 49 on 5 targets. I mean, I know that's not what you want, but Seth Roberts catches touchdowns, so it was worth a gamble there.
With Crabtree out, he's going to be the guy, because Cooper just can't do it. I don't know.
Two catches on 8 targets.
Well, they weren't even good targets, but that being said, like, I loved Cooper going into the NFL in general. I thought he was going to come in. Last year, he showed flashes, and I don't know if it's a mental thing where he just needs to get over that step, or I don't know if teams are double covering him every time, because to be honest, I don't watch many Raiders games. I kind of just watch highlights, look at stat lines, but Cooper isn't doing enough to kind of warrant every week start anymore, especially with Derek Carr out.
All right, guys, our last game. Oof. I am so sorry, Chris. This was a nasty one. 46-18.
It was Seahawks. A nasty.
Oh, here comes the boom.
It was a nasty fourth quarter.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny. So I just want to say this real quick. I was at a buddy's house last night watching this game because he's a big Colts fan, and it was 18-18, and I'm like, oh, all right, it's a pretty competitive game. I just had to go because I had to get up early for work. I come home, and I'm just doing things around the house a little bit, and I'm watching the game. Then I pull up my phone because I was looking at some players, and I saw 46-18. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, that can't be right. The third quarter was still 18-18. How the hell could it have gotten 46-18? And I was looking around, and I see this kid, J.D. McKissick, and I saw Chris Carson got injured. I was like, shit. And I was like, how the hell else did they score all these points?
Yeah, it was really
Seattle's
the
defense stepped up against the worst offensive line in the NFL. That's what happened. I mean, did anyone expect this game to go any other way? Maybe not like this huge point margin, but like, did anyone expect the Colts to win?
I was surprised it was close.
They were up 15-10 at halftime.
Yeah, but you also got to think, in the third, you have Russell Wilson, 23-yard rush, McKissick, 30-yard touchdown, Bobby Wagner, sack fumble, 21 yards.
Well, all I'm saying is that, I mean, let's be honest, Max. I mean,
the Seahawks really haven't been. The O-line for the Seahawks is terrible, but when you have a defense and O-line as bad as the Colts is right now.
Chris, I love Malik Hooker for that defense. Kid looks like a steal.
You just like his name.
No, he's great. 3 interceptions in 3 games. I mean, that's already.
He was a first round pick out of Ohio State.
Dude, right. Hookers catch everything.
Hi-oh. But, you know, and then I'm looking forward to when Quincy Wilson comes back. I think that GM had a really good draft, actually, considering what the garbage that their former GM bought in. But, yeah, I mean, the Colts are completely in a rebuild everywhere else but quarterback mode, basically.
Well, I mean, quarterback and wide receiver, because their wide receiving core, even like getting rid of Dorsett, it's still good. Yeah. So it's like they have they need a lot. But it's one of those things where, I mean, this could be blasphemy to say, if you traded Andrew Luck away, which I know, blasphemy, you could get so many key pieces for your team.
At the same time, they're already on their way to possibly getting, like, a high-end draft pick where they could trade down anyways and get more draft picks.
Yeah, because the Jets and the Bills are just throwing away their first-round pick hopes.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, the Browns might have the first overall pick, but, hey, Colts could get the second overall pick. It's still possible.
But you know how the Browns have a million picks this upcoming season or next season?
Yeah.
You could be like, hey, give us all of your picks. Here's Andrew Luck. And the Browns would be like, we don't even care that he's hurt all the time. Take the picks. And then the Colts have a brand new team.
What would you think of that, Chris?
I would hate it. I would absolutely hate
that. I figured as much.
Yeah. I think as long as they have Luck, they're going to be fine.
There you go. Believe. They have that
and
bit
as
of
long
luck.
As Luck plays.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Right. So, all right. So we talked a little bit about J.D. McKissick. So, are you guys saying right now he's a James Blunt or James Brown? What are we going with here?
James Blunt.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Blunt until I see more. So.
All right. Whew. All right. Well, we record this on a Monday, so we are not going to be talking about the Chiefs-Redskins game. But
let me do a
bold
prediction. So Kareem Hunt had a great game.
What kind of a great game?
110 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think 110 total yards, not just rushing.
You think he's going to have another 50-plus yard touchdown again?
He seems to do it every week, so yeah. Probably.
First rookie to ever do it in their first three games.
He's looking really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely been a stud for sure. That's why I'm glad I did get him in like four to my six leagues. So kudos to this guy. But, you know, do you guys think it'll be a high scoring game or do you think it'll be a lot of defense?
I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
See, yeah. The thing is, I think these teams are actually built very similar. So this is either going to be like, it's going to sound really like cop out answer. It's going to be like a 9-7 game or something weird, or it's going to be like 48-37. It's one or the other because both teams have potential and talent to break out and be great offensively, but both teams have pretty good defenses, and KC definitely has the edge in defense.
Well, as long as Kareem Hunt and the Chiefs defense don't get 30 points each, I should win finally once again in my one money league. So, and I need Kareem Hunt to score 31 points in my other money league so that I can win.
I could if Kareem Hunt can just him and Tyreek Hill can combine for 22 points, just 22 in full point PPR league, I'm good. I get the W.
Yeah, I need a little.
Derek Carr hurt me this week.
Well, I need a little more from Kareem Hunt, so I'm going to be greedy. I need 31. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for this episode. Sad, but it was great being on with you guys again. I had a lot of fun.
We missed you
away
last
and work and crew. I know I was on my cruise last week, so. But it was a good time, guys.
Lifestyles, rich and the famous, man.
Rich, I wouldn't even go there. All right, guys, you can go to sleepwire.com to find more information on the show, find all our episodes, you can find our rankings, articles. You can also reach out to us and ask us questions through sleepwire.com, or you can reach out to us on our Twitter at sleepwireshow. Max, where can they find you?
They can find Twitterless Max at sleeperbot. I am Max SW there. Just reach out to me, add me as a friend, and I'll hit you up. I still have to make a Twitter.
Still got to get on that. Chris, where can they find you, Chris?
You can find me on Twitter at CMOR Sleeperwire, Sleeperbot at Professor Chris, Fantasy Life at Professor Chris, and on Instagram at Professor Chris SW.
Look at him. He is fully loaded. You cannot go anywhere without finding him. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Sleeperwire Nick. Follow me on Sleeperbot at SW Nick, and you can follow me on Fantasy Life at Sleeperwire Nick. Guys, thank you for joining me this week, and hopefully you guys got players going on Monday Night Football game. Good luck. For Max and Chris, I'm Nick Sumrall saying so long, everybody. Good night.
Peace.
Later.
Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire on Dash Talk.